All right, well, here we are. Three Brothers Talking, episode 86. We are recording. I am in a new studio for me. The other two are in their normal studios, top secret studios. But I'm David.
I am Andrew.
I am Jeremy.
And we are, we're here. And tonight is Andrew's episode. So... Or I shouldn't say tonight, because the magic of the podcast.
It could be anytime. Work in the morning.
Yeah. Who knows?
That's when everyone listens to podcasts. Or, actually, you know, feeding a child early in the morning, or
you know,
running.
Honestly though, if you are listening to this, we want you to listen to it at night. This episode, so just don't do it at any other time.
And wait till later.
This is like a casual evening entertainment episode. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You got that already out, that
it was my episode. You got that out right away so that they know, like, if this flops, they know they can go right back to the beginning.
Just put it out there right away so that people they also might know, like, I don't like Andrew's episodes. I'm just going to skip it, go on to the next one.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and hit mark as played and move on. So, this is Andrew's episode, but I am in a new studio. I just want to take a second to acknowledge that the reason I'm there is because we had some rain in the central Ohio area, and that rain brought to me the realization that my basement has a capacity to hold a lot of water. It literally has a capacity of sorts.
Yeah.
And that capacity is a water-based capacity. And that's what I discovered. Thankful for a friend. Shout out to John, who helped me regrade part of my yard. But just a pro tip. If there's part of your yard that, and you know that this can happen in your house, I'm just going to give you a recommendation at the very start of the podcast. Do it before there's 2 inches of rain in the space of 7 hours, I think it was.
Yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a lot. But that's a lot of rain.
And
yeah, so just do yourself a favor. Start off with that. There you go. That's the end of the podcast. See you guys.
You just had like kind of moisture though. Did you have actual flooding?
We did not have standing water.
Yeah.
But there was moisture, which is just awful to say. But just that word's awful. Yeah. But it was wet throughout the basement for most about half of our basement. Yeah. The carpet was pretty soupy.
One day, the dogs had dug a hole outside of my basement. So they definitely like I came in, I'm like, why is it wet? I've never had wetness here before. And then I look outside like, oh yeah, there's a hole right there where it just, you know,
they built a nice little funnel.
This is a good spot for some water buildup.
It's a good spot. It's right next to the electrical panel. I'm like, this is a great spot, guys. Let me tell you, this is where I want this.
Smart dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I put bricks over that spot now.
Yeah, no more digging.
Can't dig through that, dogs.
Not fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
Home ownership.
Home ownership. This is a podcast about
owning a home. You never realized growing up that you're going to worry about 2 inches of rainfall. Is like not a concern that you think you're gonna have on the radar.
Nope.
Yeah.
No. You don't get it. Your dad, your parents are concerned with these things, and you're like, why?
Yeah.
Then you get older and you have a house, and you're like, oh, I see exactly why.
Yeah.
Because we were fortunate; nothing really got ruined. I mean, it doesn't look like anything got ruined. Even the carpet might make a recovery, but yeah. You just quickly realize, like, oh, I could have lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Very quickly.
Not fun. Yeah. So, how are you guys doing? It's been a little while. Everything else besides that, Dave?
You know, that's really been my entire. No. we've been good. We're, you know, the church plant's moving forward, and progress being made there. Which is a lot of fun, you know, getting within probably 3 to 4 months of our first Sunday gatherings, hopefully, Lord willing. And that's been really exciting. More people coming around to it and checking it out and hearing about it and, yeah, learning more about why exactly we're doing this plant, why we believe in it. And that's probably going to be a podcast episode at some point, but for now it's not. So
for now it's my episode.
For now it's Andrew's episode. So yeah, it's been really good. I've realized that this stage of the church plant life is it's a lot of meetings. It's a lot of meetings with people about locations. It's a lot of meetings with people about funding. It's a lot of meetings with people about logistics. And it's a lot of meetings with people about whether or not they want to come to the plant. And it's a lot of meetings. So that's what it is. It's fun getting to meet with some people that I don't normally get to connect with. And it's a different kind of challenge. It's you expect, you know, in this stage, being a pastor for the plant is not, it's not from the stage a lot at all. You know, it's almost not at all from the stage.
Well, one
because
thing,
the stage doesn't exist yet.
One thing I was like, I mean, this is not a church plant podcast or anything. But one thing that is cool to see is like, we are you, and our church leadership and all that, we're making a very cognizant effort to cultivate a body to plant along with you. And like, by that, I mean, like, we're already, you know, even ahead of, a potential first Sunday gathering, like, we are meeting regularly as kind of a core group of families, and we're going outside for interest meetings to invite other guests and stuff to try to, like, you know, we kind of are built up of like a body of people that are banded together in this aspect right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, it's just, you know, obviously, like, there'd be some people that go with you for the first plant, but like, it wouldn't just be like, hey, send David and Rachel off and, you know, invite people and start your own church. And whereas like, you kind of, you know, we're hopefully starting with a small cell of a healthy church body.
That's one of the things that that churches in America have gotten wrong with church planning for a long time, I think.
Yeah.
Not that we have it perfectly figured out, but the call to plant churches does not fall to individuals. The call to plant local churches falls to local churches. Like, that's it falls to local churches as a whole to plant the next local church.
Yeah.
So there might be a leader of it. But it's just like an existing church where the work of ministry is done by all the people.
Yeah.
Planting a church is done by a whole local church. The senders, the goers, and the leaders of it. It's done by everybody. And yeah, it's gonna be a busy summer. It already has been. It will be a busy summer, but it's important because it's us getting on the same page as a team, reminding ourselves like, we are purposefully going back to square one because there's new work to do in a new area. So we are okay with going to square one. We are okay with serving extra and serving differently. And, you know, we're okay with things being messier than they are at the established church. We're okay with all this because we see the work that's going to be done. So,
yeah. Well, Jeremy, how are you doing?
I'm good. Just had our second child celebrate their second birthday, and my wife did a great job with that, so it's exciting.
That was a party.
It was a party and a half, dude.
We had a bounce house, we had a tractor ride, water slide, zip line.
She went above and beyond there.
Faith is a party planner, dude.
Yeah.
Faith, if Faith takes the party planning committee to like a whole new level of awesome.
Oh yeah.
She does a great job. And all she asked me to do is take care of the kids and make sure they don't get in the way. And, you know, I can do that.
Just stay out of my way.
So, just stay out of the way and pick up the food beforehand. And she did an excellent job, and she's a fantastic lady, so.
She's a great lady.
She's a great, great lady.
Yeah, that was fun. I was like, we're coming up on my end. Yeah, we're coming up on Addie's birthday here this coming weekend.
Right.
Just about 2 weeks between Maddie and Addie, and we're going straight up pool party for Addison. So
yeah,
that should be a good time. Yeah. All the other cool thing, so you guys will get a kick out of this, hopefully, is Lincoln has really taken to trying to play with me on the Xbox that I have. And so, like, Lincoln is, for those listening, Lincoln is about to be four this coming fall. So he's just all sorts of energy, and he wants to do everything the big kids are doing. And so, fortunately, I have a whole bunch of those. Kaylee's brother gave me a whole bunch of these, like, Lego Marvel games, like the Lego the Lego Avengers.
Those are,
like,
good ones, yeah.
Lego Batman and all those. So, like, we've been playing those, and he tries to get, you know, just tonight before we started this, like, we got a solid half hour of him trying to game and, like, us doing a co-op together. And, like, it's funny because they're obviously, like, they build it in of, like, certain characters have to do certain things in the game. And so I have to kind of pitch in and, like, take his character over for a little bit and get us moving on. But it's been cool because he asked at the end, like, we'll come in, get his PJs on. He'll be like, "Daddy, can we have some game time?" And I'm like, all right. I was like, you know, as long as Kaylee says it's all right, we go down and game for a little bit in the basement and get a little father-son time. So that's been cool.
Hmm. That's, has it been, you know, because playing with a child can be frustrating. Does he like it when you have to take his controller to, like, get his character somewhere? Does he like that, or does he get mad?
It's a mixed bag of, like, he gets stuck sometimes and he asks me, like, "Hey, Dad, get me out of here. Like,
yeah,
give me the next thing or show me how to do this." And every once in a while, like, you have to press particular buttons versus just, like, hitting the same, like, attack button.
Yeah.
And so, like, every once in a while, he's like, "Dad, what button do I press? Like,
yeah.
And so, you know, he gets frustrated sometimes when he can't do things, but we try to keep it light and he doesn't take it too seriously. And it's funny too, that, like, we'll get in that game and, like, all the bad guys are piling up and he'll just put the controller down and he'll just be like, "I don't want to fight these guys, Dad. You take care of it." And, like, he just lets his character sit there for a little bit and he just takes a little break. He's like, "I'm going to take a break." And I'm like, "Okay." Well, like,
that's funny. You know, it's a lot. And that's, I can see Lincoln now, just the amount of energy he carries into everything.
Yeah.
I can only imagine, you know, the intensity with which he plays that game.
It's been fun because, you know, like, Kaylee also likes it because I bring him down to the basement and then we're kind of shut away for a little bit. Yeah. Give her a little bit of a break, but. Yeah, it's been a good little time. We just got back from, we did a little family trip to Gatlinburg, a little family vacation getaway. So that was a good time to relax a little bit too. Yeah.
Would you recommend Gatlinburg as a family destination?
Yes. Now that we went once, we kind of know a little bit more, I think, of, like, getting around and, like, ways to optimize it. Cause it is, like, especially on the weekends there in the summer, it gets jam packed. And so you kind of got to know what you want to do and, like, how you want to navigate it. I tell Kaylee, like, you don't realize, I mean, you can, like, do your internet searches and all that beforehand to, like, find stuff that seems interesting, but until you actually walk the whole strip, it's like, you don't realize what all is there until you're actually in it. And, like it's just so easy to realize, like, to just walk past stuff and everything is just so jam-packed in the city center there that you don't even realize, like, everything, you know, just how many people get in there and how much is actually around you. So, I mean, it was cool. Like, the kids loved it. Yeah.
Did you do Dolly Parton Stampede?
No, we didn't do any. I mean, we had the kids with us, so, yeah, we didn't do that. We did...
Well, the kids would have loved it, man. They could see horses and people running around.
We did the aquarium. We did mini golf. We did lots of breakfast places. We did what else? Oh, this big tree house and like rope bridge place with like challenge courses and all that. And that, like, you literally take a ski lift up the mountain to get to it.
That's cool.
So yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, you rode down the side of a mountain.
Been there.
So wait, what is Dolly Parton's Stampede?
It's a horse show. Like Faith, we went. It's basically like that. Like, you remember in movies, you have like the whole like they do a show with like, I don't know, a theme. And you all sit around like an arena and you eat food and stuff.
Yeah, like the medieval.
It's that's what it is. Yeah.
Like medieval times, yeah.
Yeah, medieval times, just like that. So it was fun. We enjoyed it. She was pregnant when we went last time, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That was, I'll be honest, I thought it was going to be a little bit more than that.
The cool part.
It's cool. It's really cool.
We texted you guys. Like, the cool part is there's people that go there and like never see wildlife. And we literally walked out of dinner on the first night and we were just walking back to our car in the parking lot. And there was a baby cub bear. Literally, like, there's a creek.
You bring it home?
There's a creek that runs right along the parking lot. And it was just on the other side of the creek, just like looking around for some food. And like, it was, you know, it was no more than.
Did you feed it?
No, it was, I mean, we looked at it, we were right across the creek from it, separating us, and so, like, it was no less than, like, just 50 feet away from our car.
You should have gone back in, got a burger, and then been like, just give it to the bear, just become friends and bond.
And then, like, literally once we saw that, Lincoln, of course, like, as soon as we went outside anywhere, he was just like, where's the bear at?
Where's the bear?
Yeah, like...
It was right here.
Like, bears should be everywhere. Like,
where's the bear, Dad?
Yeah.
You're that, bears.
No. I guess, yeah, we can get into a little bit of, I guess what I was coming to the table to talk about, was really the question that I want to pose to you guys, and hopefully you have some thoughts on this, on
I have none.
The question is how we go about measuring our walk objectively. That is our Christian walk
today.
Like,
how long does it take you to walk a mile?
No. Our Christian walk today, what are ways that you guys have found in your life to measure and like possibly gauge, you know, your ups and your downs, and know when you have to kind of check and adjust different things, and advice, I guess, for how to go about, looking at that.
Jeremy, you go first.
Yeah, I don't know if that sparks any initial thoughts or if anybody has any qualifiers or anything. Or
I'm not in a qualifying mood.
Yeah. Let's not qualify or caveat. Let's just go.
We had caveats in the last episode. Let's just go for it.
Well, I mean,
that was like full of caveats, I think, from memory from 2 months ago, whenever we recorded that last.
It was definitely not 2 months, but okay.
I mean, I was like, I'll toss out just my first thought that came to mind when I thought of the question. And one thing I wanted to bring up was like how, you know, when you think about how I measure how I'm doing, really one way is like each and every day I try to be cognizant of waking up in the morning. How anxious am I when I start my day? Something that I've definitely, I think, learned with a little more age and stuff is like trying to gauge my temperament as I'm starting each day. Is like really key for like, am I setting myself up for success? Am I going into the day with worries, with anxiousness, with stuff carried over from the prior day? And you know, like, am I going to basically set myself up, especially with dealing with toddlers and little ones who can test patience, and with dealing with a busy work schedule and all that and stress, like, you know, I just think of like Proverbs, you know, 15:18, where it's like, for me, like as a husband, I want to guard myself about being a hot temp against being a hot tempered man, who's mm-hmm. stirring up strife,
yeah.
And one who is slow to anger, in that way.
Yeah. That's interesting. That makes me think of, a proverb I read today in Proverbs 19, and I forget which exact verse it is, but, the verse is, it is, oh shoot, I'm not going to have it now. one of the half of it is, it's a glory of a wise man to overlook an offense. It's in chapter 19, the book of Proverbs. It's a glory of a wise man to overlook an offense. So one of the ways to know how healthy you are, how wisely you're living, is to see if you are able to be patient and forbearing and long-suffering with somebody, or if you are irritable, easily angered. You know, we're talking about measuring, trying to measure our lives, our walk objectively. That goes back to comparing where we are with actual scripture instead of comparing where we are with feelings, I think. That's what I go to.
Well, I think the typical response, typically you go to measurables. Have I flown off the handle today? I'm thinking, how patient have I been? Have I, like you said, look over offenses? Am I irritable? Am I angry? Am I annoyed?
Yeah.
Often, because we all have days and moments.
Have I lashed out at my kids?
Like,
have I done that? Yeah.
Is the when going back to more so thinking about patterns of life, growing in those being less frequent or more frequent would be the way it goes. Do I have moments? Because I mean, there's times you read the Psalms where David was in pits of despair. So if we all know feelings and depression aren't necessarily indicators of a faulty walk.
Yeah.
Job was depressed, and at that point, he was completely right to be mournful. There's nothing wrong with crying. We can see in scripture. So, I guess going back to evaluating, if you are feeling one way, you saying, why am I feeling that way? Because it may be a sin thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it very well could just be, this is the season of life we're in. And I guess a good barometer of how anxious am I am today for like the events coming up. Or I know one thing that, like, after hearing someone preach this weekend, thinking about like, okay, like how our pastor preach about like how what am I afraid of?
Is my fear the weakest of the four? Yeah.
No, that's not true. I mean, you might not be able to lift. You probably can't lift as much as Jeff, but you might be able to.
I didn't listen
to
Jeff because we were away, so.
He did a good job, but one of the points you had, which I talked to Steven about, a buddy last night about, was you talked about fear. Is our fear in my decision making process, what level of fear of God versus fear of man or fear of something else happening is getting in the way of that?
Yeah.
Action. Like, if it's an action item and I know I should do it, well, what's stopping me?
Yeah. I mean, when we think about measuring our health, I think that we have a, maybe a broader point, but we have a tendency to think very, I'm going to throw out a made up word, but think very revivalistically. In our day and age,
is that a word?
It's, I don't know. I don't think it is.
It might be.
revival is a word. And
the
revivalism that happened in the Second Great Awakening, which was not a good Great Awakening, but that's like the Charles Finney and stuff like that. That brought with it like a lot of manufactured hype. And it was very different from the revival of the First Great Awakening, which was like Edwards and Whitfield and stuff like that. And the thing that Finney brought along was like the very, like, basically to get people, his method was to get people into the kingdom with emotion and everything like that.
Yeah.
Right.
And we live very much downstream of that today, to where we think of the church and we think of our own walks revivalistically. So what I mean by that is, like, we don't measure it objectively. We measure it. We measure our walk in terms of how much we're feeling. And, you know, do we have a rush of emotion when we're reading in our quiet time that morning?
Right.
Or does it feel boring? And if it feels boring, or if it feels hard, or something like that, or if it just feels non-emotional, we often conclude we're not healthy.
Right.
And those two things are just not necessarily the same thing. You know, that there's, I think as we mature, we ought to learn to look at things based on truth and not on how we are feeling in reaction to that truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because we should be learning to bring our feelings in submission to what is true, not searching for something that stirs our feelings.
Yeah.
And that just goes to, you can go ahead, Jeremy. Go ahead.
No, go for it. No.
No, I didn't know anybody was going to have something to say, so I was like,
well, I was going to say, I think that, not the caveat, but if you sit there and say, well,
that no caveats. Why am I,
no caveats. Well, and I think too often we sit there and think and nitpick certain, and honestly give ourselves, on one hand, we can be too critical of ourselves, some of us are given to that. And then you get the head down mentality, navel gazing, and you're never going to get out of it. And not really believing in God's grace after the fact to get you out of the slump, or to sustain you on the high you're on, the emotional response. But then the other response is you can never ever think critically about anything. And then, I don't know, I think more so than ever, I've been thinking about being a disciplined, from the male perspective, being a self-controlled, disciplined man, and how we're also training. Like, we all have sons, so training our sons to be disciplined men, even when we don't feel like being disciplined men ourselves. And that all falls into, there's a spiritual aspect of it, but even, like, the parts of being, like, we had our men's discipleship thing about working and worship, and how those things can also be indicators of your current spiritual state.
Yeah.
Are you joyful in work or no? Yes or no? Are you negative at work? Yes or no? And all of those aspects, we're whole human beings. We're multifaceted. We have emotions. We have a spiritual component. We have a physical component. All those things play a part. They interact with each other. So if you're lacking in one of those can and do affect. And you can also, I would challenge, might not be a good steward of what you are. If you're only spiritually disciplined and you're eating like garbage, then you still have a spiritual issue here because you're not stewarding what God has given you well.
Hmm.
Yeah. That, I was like, that's, I mean, when I think of objectively, that's kind of what I tried to, you know, kind of tie in, was like, a look at the spiritual disciplines in your own life. And like what measurables are there, you know, whether I might be glossing over some, but you have like, you know, you have inward spiritual disciplines in like, you know, biblical study, prayer, meditation, fasting, giving, whatever it may be. Then you have outward spiritual disciplines of like corporate worship. You have community. You have confession.
Obedience,
yeah. So, like, Jeremy's holding up a spiritual disciplines book, yeah. So Jeremy might have some more.
But those are just Whitney's
book? I've actually started this book a million times. I've actually started this, I don't know how many times, and I've had undisciplined and finished it.
I was going to say, yeah.
But
so, like, I think the big thing to, like, like when I brought up the anxiousness thing and temperament about starting the day, that wasn't like a look at like, yeah, just the feeling of that was a way of like, I think taking an honest reflection to start your day.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
And like that doesn't necessarily preclude that you are unhealthy in your walk, but it could be an indicator that like, if you're starting the day with restlessness and all that in your heart, then maybe one of these other spiritual disciplines, or maybe,
Well, that's how you get out of it. That's how you get out of it, is discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's going back, like, and I know some people don't like talk about doctrine or disciplines, but they all feed into each other in your Christian walk. And like a check engine light, if you're not doing something or you're waking up consistently, like, sometimes sensors go bad, and it's like, it's a bad sensor on a tire. I'm not worried about it. It'll be okay. And it goes away on its own. Like, yeah. that's a blip on the radar. Just as a concrete example.
But an example that just happened to me.
Meaning you still have your disciplines kind of in line. Is that what you're saying?
Right.
Yeah.
It could be. But like, also, it's like
you're not feeling perfect, but you're still obedient.
Now I have other lights flashing. Right. But it is a chance to at least take a thought captive and say, well, is this something I should be thinking about more or not? Or just breeze by and say, yeah, we're good. And we just chuck it off to a bad moment and you move on and just say, we're good.
Yeah.
But I think talking about the spiritual disciplines too, growing in those things, is something I don't know, a challenge. I think that we're less challenged to do nowadays than we should.
Yeah, I think one of the questions is, do you actually love the spiritual disciplines more than you did before?
Yeah.
And not love them in terms of, like, going back to the revivalist thing, not like loving it in terms of, boy, church has just felt like a lot of fun recently, right? Or things like, but the more mature side of that, and we can all distinguish this as you get older, you're able to distinguish between loving something emotionally or loving something because, like, a genuine love, right? Right. You know, that gets shown in marriage. Like, your love grows for somebody, even though your emotional love will take hits because life is hard and not every day is a honeymoon, right? But your love, your actual love, continues to grow. Just like it does with parenting, just like it does with adult friendships, like, that's how it is. So the question I'm asking is, like, do I have a grown-up love for corporate worship, for example, more than I used to? Not because it, like, scratches my itch every week and I'm really excited by it every week, but do I love it because, like, there's a genuine, duty-filled, happy discipline in going and being a part of it every week.
Yeah.
The same way with holiness, right? Like, our holiness, one of the greatest, more objective things to ask yourself is, are you more holy and do you desire more holiness than you used to? Do you desire it? Even if you're not, even if you're not perfectly obedient in some area or something, do you desire obedience more just for the sake of you dislike sin more, right?
Yeah.
Not because you are tired of getting caught with a sin. Yeah, you're growing in your honest, righteous hatred for sin. That is
right.
That is the best. That is one of the truest marks of your growth in Christ, because our God is holy. And so as you grow in holiness, you're going to be more aware of your sin. You're going to be more aware of a need for Christ. You might not feel great because of that, but you're going to be more aware of your need and you're going to be more full of a desire to not sin.
Yeah. And like, as like, I think that's the key from a heart condition perspective that leads you to, basically that then you can, should be desiring more and more to develop and grow in spiritual disciplines, because we know the reward that comes from them at that point. And that is, you know, steadfastness, that is obedience, and you are growing in, especially with like community worship, you're growing in more and more truth of scripture. And so you then, you know, you yearn for that more, each day. I think that one of the questions too, to like pose to yourself is just, you know, which one of the spiritual, and this is what I want to throw out to you guys, is like possibly which one of the spiritual disciplines, either kind of like more inward or outward, either in the past or maybe in the present too, like, have you guys struggled with or find particularly challenging? I can throw out mine first if you guys want.
Go for it, Ange.
And I, when I thought about it, like kind of measuring myself, mine, I'd say the one that I can get most, the one that I have to guard myself against the most is probably, like community, from an outward perspective. And I mean by that, like basically the calling to be, you know, to not pull back and to be engaged with my fellow brothers and sisters, like in ongoing discipleship and ongoing evangelism, because I, you know, with an active family and with a busy job and all that, like it's very easy day to day to negate that responsibility just for the filling up of the schedule. And then it just resorts back to like, well, I'll get my fill of that community, you know, when I go to Sunday gathering, and like mm-hmm. when I'm there for corporate worship. Whereas like truly, I think what's neat about our church and what's neat about the calling is like I should be engaging and trying to build up discipleship amongst our body and amongst, you know, my fellow believers each and every day of the week. And I need to be pouring into, you know, my fellow brother's life and checking in with their well-being too, because they're in this walk the same way I am. And so I think that's one thing that I need to, you know, I've continued to try to challenge myself more and more of like, am I engaging with my fellow believers to the degree that I, to the degree that I'm able to, and I'm called to, yeah, that's the first one that came to me.
Yeah, I think that one of the temptations of our day and age, because almost every church has small groups, and ours are even called community groups. And so I think one of the temptations we have today that's maybe unique is just to think that we've nailed community because we go to community group 3 out of every 4 weeks of a month.
For me, and this is something I've tried to grow in, and it's hard right now being, I guess, the state I'm in with 2 young kids. I've never been that good at it. It's silence and solitude. From the perspective of, especially nowadays with phones, actually physically putting your phone away. Like, now I've tried, like, to say, I'm going to put my phone away from work, and, like, I'm going to take a walk outside for, even if it's 5 minutes, like, I'm not really reachable. Or in the morning, waking up and spending time with either a book or a journal, or even just sitting there on the back porch, or, like, I went for a run the other morning, and like, I'm not going to put my iPhone in, I'm just going to walk back the rest of the way, and that's something I know I have to build in, honestly, build in timers to make that happen.
Yeah,
because it's very easy, especially nowadays, with always being reachable on the phone.
Yeah,
to not by default.
Yeah,
like you have to actively
to not be to,
more so
to
than
not
ever
have
before.
Some other to not have some other distractions or something there.
Yeah,
you, like that goes along.
Yeah, something vying for your
another
attention.
Word for that. Yeah, like meditation, that aspect.
When you can be right. Today, it's just easy to be constantly entertained, right?
Yeah.
One of the things that has helped me in that is that when I get really stressed out, I often remember that this is helpful. So just when I get into the car at the end of the workday, I just don't turn anything on until I get to like a set place. Like I have a, in my old job that I was working on until a month ago, it was the one exit. Whenever I just wouldn't turn anything on until I got onto the freeway, onto this one exit. And that was like 5 to 6 minutes of pretty much silence for my brain to let go of work and then to begin thinking about things. But I think for me, like the difficulty is in how well timed my mornings were before we had a kid.
Yeah.
In terms of like, I can wake up at this time, I can read the Bible for this long, get to the gym at this, or I can actually like,
yeah,
go, I can listen to scripture on my way to the gym, work out, and then read that scripture again when I'm eating my breakfast and then go to work. Now it's like, I have to wake up earlier to read, to pray, so I can get to the gym right when it opens, so that when I get back, I can eat breakfast with Haddon, and like scripture reading will happen there. And I often read it to him. He's one, right? So he isn't really processing it, but I'll read it to him, but it's not the same as reading it undistracted.
Yeah.
Or praying undistracted, because I'll be reading it to him and every 2 minutes he's like throwing his spoon on the ground or something like that. So,
But even that, like knowing that the time has changed a little bit.
Well, in every stage that he grows through, it changes. Right. Yeah.
But even being cognizant of that, it's like sometimes you can go and, you know, you can just subtly slip away from that type of routine and not be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the discipline comes in not the morning of most of the time. The discipline comes in the night before. Like
the night before,
setting the alarm, setting the alarm and saying, I'm going to get up when this alarm goes off.
Yeah.
I must do it. And it's something that I tell myself, as cheesy as it might sound. Is there times when I just say, for the sake of my family, I'm getting up to do this. And I'll be a little bit tired, and that's on me to get to bed earlier, to be more disciplined with my time throughout the day so I can get to bed at a good time to wake up early. But that's even a measure of how much I love my family. Am I willing to be the man and the father and the husband that I'm supposed to be, and to do all the things that are necessary to set an example for them?
Mm-hmm.
That's just, if I love my family enough, I will do that. And
yeah,
you know, that's just where it's hard. It's easy to get out of. It's easy to not do that. But what I've learned is that the discipline is not. The discipline doesn't just start at, for me, like 5:15, 5:30 when the alarm goes off. The discipline is throughout the entire day. Because if, especially now in the flexible, time flexible world of being a pastor that I'm in, if I am well disciplined with my time throughout the day, me and my wife will have more free time and can get to bed earlier at the end of the day. Because my job is even less of a 9-to-5 than it was before. So, But if I'm disciplined with my time throughout the day, I can help my whole family get to bed on time and wake up on time and have time to read the scriptures, time to pray, time to relax, time to rest. That's a function of me being disciplined with my time. And what I've learned is like being cognizant of how much time I waste scrolling on Instagram or whatever it might be, being stupid videos on YouTube or whatever, you know, being cognizant of how much time I'm wasting on doing those things throughout the day is, that's a measure of how spiritually alert I am, because it's a measure of how active I'm being with my time and how purposeful I'm being with my time, or if I'm letting it just get soaked up by stupid things. Like it's just so easy for that to happen. And most of the time when a lot of my time is slipping into those things, I'm just not being disciplined, and I'm probably not that healthy.
Yeah, it's like, and then you see that, like, possibly on the backside of that, anxiousness builds up.
Yep.
Because
your stuff's not getting done.
Because,
right.
Because you're not doing it.
Like you said, like, in this world, it is so easy for us to just be entertained 100% of our time if we want to be.
Yeah.
Like, we have everything at our fingertips if we want it. I think that is truly key. And, like, I try to, too. Like, I take a glance at my on my phone. I get the report every week for, like, my screen time. And I try to always make a cognizant effort to see that that's going down week by week, too. Like, your iPhone gives you the reminder. And, like, if it, you know, if 1 week it didn't, like, I want to know the particular, you know, I want to know, like, all right, what did that week? What did that week look like? Like, did I just have like a, you know, did I have like a long car trip where I had my phone or something out or something? Yeah. That's just what I thought of.
It's a good one.
And I just think another thing is, how are you delighting more in the duties that God has given you? For example, I was talking, I think it might have been Rachel. I think we were talking about this. Could have been somebody else. We were talking about the family and how we're often not aware of how secularized we become in our thinking about the family, to where we in the church will treat children like a burden just like the world does. Or we'll at least make, we won't treat them that way, but we will make comments and jokes like the world does. And it's so fundamentally wrong. Like, we read these verses that talk about the value of children. And there's so many duties you could fill into this blank, but the one that came to my head was children. Because I think that it is one that we are ready to complain about. Work is another one that we are ready to complain about. Service in the church, being a part of a local church, another one we're ready to complain about. But are we growing to see the responsibilities that God has entrusted to us? Are we growing to see them like He does? And are we finding joy in the duties that He's given us? That word has been through a, I've read a couple different things about work and about manhood over the last year, year and a half. And a lot of them have framed it in this lens of duty, of as a way of understanding yourself, what you're, what, who you're supposed to be, is by looking at the responsibility and duties that have been given to you in that position. And that's when we are seeing those things the way God sees them and obeying and doing them faithfully and delighting in them. Like, we're finding actual joy in carrying these things out the way God intends us to. That's health. That's real joy and vitality and peace. And it's also real fruit. It's real production and fruitfulness that comes from that.
That was good. Anybody got anything else?
No, I got nothing.
I might, I'm going to reco, I'm going to reco the, a podcast on the subject of revivalism that I didn't know I would talk about it tonight, but I feel like I referenced it enough that it might be like plagiarism if I don't recommend it. So, it's an episode from a podcast called The King's Hall. I will find it and link it, that talks about revivalism and some of the fruit that it's borne. I don't really follow the podcast as a whole, but a friend sent me that one episode and I really enjoyed it. So I thought that was good. And it also might talk about duty a little bit in there as well. So apart from making your basement more waterproof, that's my recommendation.
I was going to jump off of Jeremy's idea a bit, but my reco was going to be like a quick little novelty thing that you could do, you could start doing if you aren't, is like at the end of the day, if you have children or whatever that are getting down for sleep or whatever, after that, like sit down with your wife. Like, I know for us, me and Kaylee like to just go out and sit on our front porch swing for a little bit. And like at that point, leave the phones inside. Or if you can, like take a, you know, like Jeremy's saying, take a walk and just leave your phones down. And like, that's one practical thing you could do with your wife and like kind of use that time as like either a reflection over the day. Days, you know, then you can get a gauge on her, you know, where she's at from a health perspective. And like, if she had a particularly stressful day or take a beat on, you know, if she's more, especially in my case, like Kaylee's day to day now home and more involved in our, you know, in the kids' activities while I'm working. So I can get a gauge on like, you know, how she's feeling and, you know, whether there was any stress in our household that day and all that.
I know something, like I said earlier, trying to get back into being disciplined, and enjoying the discipline. It's a good spot on point there, is growing and actually enjoying what you're doing now as a gift from God. The little comments here and there, I know we all make, which are in jest half the time, but also the in jest comments speak more than we want them to say, I would say. I think, and also just asking for, I wouldn't say necessarily accountability, but especially with your wife saying, hey, this is where our family's going. This is where I need to grow.
Yeah.
This is where we should grow together. Please encourage me in these things. Pray alongside me. And then just honestly do the work. Like, yeah. It comes down to a lot of stuff. It's like everything. Like it says, even the Bible, discipline is not pleasant at the time, but it yields a harvest of fruitfulness.
Yep.
I mean, it's not perfect, but yeah. Like, working out, it's gonna stink for the first few days. But you see the fruit later. You see the growth and joy later. You see the joy in building the kingdom when you do see your tithes going out. You see your church planting other churches and building into other communities. You see these things down the road. But it starts with a obedient step today.
Yep.
Yeah.
And yeah.
That's a good point. That's a good way to close it right there.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, we are at episode 86 and now onward to 87, closing in on the century mark. And
we're going to get there.
We're going to get there. And I'm itching to get back in one physical location to record.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to make that happen. Life is, I know it's ironic because the church plant is sort of like just ramping up, but in some ways life is settling down, I think, a bit for all of us, maybe a little bit, like maybe more than it was a few months ago, at least.
Yeah.
So we're going to make that happen. It's going to be awesome. For guys who see each other as often as we do, it's amazing that we don't get into the same room to record these. But yeah. Anyway, that was a little shop talk to end the episode. Yeah, and I don't know. I don't know what else to close it on. So I guess...
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. I think we're just going to let that music fade in.
I'm going to recommend... Can I do a recommendation for like...
You already did
last
one.
Last Tuesday music.
Oh, we just did it.
Yeah.
I want to do another one. I enjoy Last Tuesday, and my son likes me to listen to it. So there you go.
Last Tuesday, a band that last released music probably in 2004.
I think they at least went in 2012. I think.
Don't think that's true.
Oh, that,
I think
that's pretty late.
Well, we're gonna leave that to be a mystery, and
yeah,
we'll answer it next time.
Oh, if we remember, yeah.
I'll remember.
But yeah, until next time, I guess go look up the answer to that question on your own, because I know everybody's just itching to know.
They're dying. They are.
They're dying to know. Absolutely. Well, yeah. Until next time, we will see you next time.